Thank you, Freddie. Good morning, everyone. Welcome all of you that are visiting with us. As Jeff has already indicated, we're delighted to have you. And we hope and trust that as we study the Word of the Lord together today, that it will motivate us to be better children of God. What is the glorious hope of the believer? We've experienced death in our congregation for the last 2 months. And so many people have lost loved ones. What is the believer who has belief and faith in God? What is the glorious hope of that believer? I love the passage that was read today for us. I'll tell you what, if you look at that passage very carefully, you can just rejoice, be thankful, and be grateful that God sent His Son, that you and I can be in the family of God. Can you really think and contemplate? And does it really make such an impression upon you that you can be called a son of God, a child of God, children of God, belong to Him? And I want you to listen to John as we really reiterate. Troy did a good job, and we want to look at what God says. Behold, look at it, is what He's saying. What manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us. What has the Father done? He has bestowed. What has He bestowed? He's bestowed upon us. What has God the Father bestowed upon us? That we should be called the sons of God, children of God. That's the love that God has bestowed on those that belong to God. Son of God. I don't know about you, I'm real happy from the family that I came from. My mom and daddy were very great in service to the Lord, as I've indicated from time to time. Brothers and sisters that love the Lord, it's just good to be a McDaniel. But I want you to know, my friend, this morning, but the greatest blessing that I've ever had is to know that I became a child of God, a son of God. He has bestowed upon us that God calls us His children. Therefore, the world knoweth us not because it knew Him not. They don't know us. Why? Because we're different. Because we're God's children, beloved. Now, are we the sons of God? And it doth not yet appear what we shall be. But we know that when He shall appear, we shall be like Him, for we shall see Him as He is. I want you to think about that. We're going to be like whom? We're going to be like our Master Jesus Christ. When He comes, we don't know what kind of body we're going to have. That really doesn't faze us. Why? Because the Bible says here, we know that when He shall appear, that we shall be like Him. Children of God, we have such a promise from God. And here the Bible says, for we shall see Him as He is. But now, John inserts something that we all need to be very careful about and listen to very carefully. And every man, that be every child of God, every person who belongs to the Lord, and every man that hath this hope in Him. Boy, when you have that hope that everything is great today, it matters not what shall come to pass, that you and I know that God is taking care of us. We are in His family. We're called His children. And we can just rejoice, be thankful that we're called His children. But now notice, John said, every man that hath this hope in Him does something. What does he do? Because of the great hope that God has given to those who are children of God, he purifies himself, even as He is pure. He doesn't want to disappoint his father. He doesn't want to be a child of God who brings reproach upon God. What is he doing each day? Trying to live as good as he possibly can to please his father. Let your light so shine before men. Let me see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. Matthew 5:16. Seeking first his kingdom. Matthew 6:33. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. Why? Because God is our Father. Seek him first. I want to suggest to you that the Apostle Paul calls the hope that you and I have. He calls it a blessed, happy hope. In Titus 2:13, looking for that blessed hope and the glorious appearing of the great God and our Savior Jesus Christ. It's a hope that brings you happiness. Bynes, expositor of word study, says that hope carries with the idea of desiring, wanting, and then expecting to receive. Oh, we want to go to heaven. We want to be in the family of God. We want to serve God faithfully. We want to do all that God wants us to do. Why? Because we want to please him. We want to have that blessed hope. Peter talks about that hope, and he calls it a hope that is living. In 1 Peter 1:3, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, which according to his abundant mercy hath begotten us again unto a living hope by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. Peter, what are you talking about, that hope? Who has it? Those who are children of God. But ye, we live in a day today, you find people that are just full of despair. Many people have a feeling of hopelessness. They're just wandering. They don't have any really goal. Feel despondent. They're desperate. They're depressed. Now, why? Why do people get to that point when the Bible says that the child of God has a living hope? It is a blessed hope. And we are God's children. And he's promised one thing, and that is, I'll be with you always, even unto the end of the world. Amen. Matthew 28:18-20. Well, may I suggest to you two or three things? Well, because of failing health, that can get people really down. And the Bible tells us also that, you know, marriage is a wonderful thing, but if it's a faltering marriage, no happiness, no joy, people not liking each other anymore, not loving each other, don't want to be with each other, an overwhelming defeat, something that one has done and then has been defeated in it, and can't see the good that can come out of defeat, or some devastating sorrow in one's life. And people become almost hopeless. People become to the point of what? I can't go on. You can't if you don't have the Lord. And that's why, whatever the reason they feel hopeless, this feeling of hopelessness, it just spreads. How many people do you see smiling? How many people tell you really good things about others? Why? Let me tell you this morning, I've got something to tell you from the book of God that ought to cause everybody to be rejoicing in the hope that we have in Jesus Christ. John says, when you think of what you are, and then you think of who God the Father is, and then you think of what this God has done for you, you'll be eternally in debt to this great God. Yes, a debt that we owe. In Romans 5:8-9, God committed his love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Much more than being justified by his blood, we shall be saved from wrath through him. We are children of God. We are the sons of God. We belong to the family of God. And we have Christ as our Redeemer. David in Psalms 40:2-3 says, He brought me up out of the horrible pit he did. Look what all David had done, and look what God brought him up to do out of the miry clay. He set my feet upon a rock and established my steps. He has put a new song in my heart. James was telling me about somebody that he knew. Said one time, been an alcoholic, done a lot of things evil. But he made a change in his life. And then he went to the prisons and maybe 1,000 people were baptized by this man. Isn't that fantastic? Can you just imagine? Here was a man that had done some terrible things, David. And now God, after he repented and changed, God lifted him up. And look what David became, one of the greatest kings of all. Hope is linked with faith because faith is the ground of hope. Hope is the object of faith. You remember now, abideth faith, hope, charity. But these three, but the greatest of these is charity. Look what the Bible has to tell you and I about that hope. Hope of eternal life. You want to live forever? I do. I want to live forever and ever and ever. I want to live in the paradise of God. Surely you do too, and that's why you're here. We all do. Now listen to what the Bible says in the book of Titus, in hope of eternal life, which God, that cannot lie, promised before the world began. He's done what God says, when you're mine, you're in my family, you're going to live forever. That's good news. In Titus 3, verse 7, that being justified by His grace, we should be made heirs according to the hope of eternal life. That's us, children of God. Secondly, the Bible speaks of the hope of being saved. What more could you ask for than the precious blood of Jesus Christ? And when you're baptized into His blood, into Christ our Lord, Galatians 3:27, you are therefore becoming a child of cleansed of your sins, forgiven. In 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 8, but let us who are of the day be sober, putting on the breastplate of faith and love, and for an helmet, the hope, notice it, the hope of salvation. Ah, just think, your name will be called by the Lord. If you're a child of His, and you've lived in the family of God, and you have this great, glorious hope, yes, that is the hope of salvation. For we are saved by hope, but hope that is seen is not hope. For what a man seeth, what doth he yet hope for? But if we hope for that we see not, then do we with patience just wait for it. Romans chapter 8, verses 24 through 25. This hope is laid up in heaven. I love to sing about heaven. We sung that yesterday, how beautiful heaven must be. Have you ever contemplate being able to walk upon the street paved with pure gold, to see us see clear as crystal? It'll be so much better than all of that, but these are words that God's given to us to depict to us the most beautiful that you can ever think about. Just being in the place where there's nobody crying, where there's nobody unhappy, just living in the paradise of God. That's laid up in heaven. Paul writes in Galatians 1, verse 5, for the hope which is laid up for you in heaven, look at that. God says it, I believe it, don't you? And the Bible tells us, whereof ye heard before in the word of truth of the gospel. We told you about it in the gospel. You know about it in the gospel. And it's laid up. And where is it? It's in heaven, and I want to go there. And then the hope of the resurrection from the dead. To know that though we may bury our loved ones, and we don't see them anymore here, that great day of resurrection will come. In Acts chapter 23 and verse 6, but when Paul perceived that one part were Sadducees and the other Pharisees, he cried out in the council, Men and brethren, listen to me. I am a Pharisee, the son of a Pharisee. Of the hope and resurrection of the dead, I am called in question. Paul, what are you saying? Paul is saying, we're going to be raised up. And I believe it. And he said, I preach it. And I know it's true. Those who are in Jesus Christ, the hope of resurrection from the dead to be with him. No wonder we preach the gospel. The hope of the fulfillment of all the promises presented in the gospel are so real. In Colossians 1, verse 23, if you continue in the faith, grounded and settled, and be not moved away from the hope of the gospel, don't ever be moved away from that hope, which ye have heard, and which was preached to every creature which is under heaven, whereof I, Paul, am made a minister, the hope of the fulfillment of all the promises presented in the gospel of Jesus Christ. Look, the glorious hope of the child of God, eternal life, being saved, being up in heaven, raised from the dead, and all the promises linked with this. Paul wrote in Titus 2, verse 11, the blessed hope of the church is the glorious appearing of our great God and our Savior Jesus Christ. For the grace of God that bringeth salvation hath appeared to all men, teaching us that denying ungodliness and worldly lust, we should live soberly, righteous, and godly right now. Oh, it's good to live good. It's a joy. I've seen so many of you in the last couple of months just share with each other. You've wept with each other. You've rejoiced with each other. Why? You're in the family together, a great family of God, because we're in God's family and we're the children of God and we're looking for that blessed hope and the glorious appearing of the great God and our Savior Jesus Christ, who gave himself for us that he might redeem us from all iniquity, purify unto himself a peculiar people, zealous unto good works. Christ in us, the hope of glory. He ties the resurrection of Jesus with that hope. The Bible says, but if there is no resurrection of the dead, neither hath Christ been raised. And if Christ has not been raised, then is our preaching vain, your faith also is vain. Yea, we're found false witnesses of God, because we witness of God that he raised up Christ. And if he raised up Christ, whom he raised not up, if there's no resurrection, if so be that the dead are not raised. Look what he says. For if the dead are not raised, and if Christ has not been raised, your faith is vain. Ye are yet in your sins. Then they also that are fallen asleep in Christ have perished. But he said, but in this life, if we only have hope in Christ, we're of all men most pitiful, because Christ is risen, and so shall we be. Boy, the doctrine of Christianity, the teaching of Jesus Christ about life after death. Most religions have some kind of a hope about life after death, but Christianity offers real evidence of that hope and also carefully defines it. Christ not only taught of the resurrection, he also prophesied of it and then demonstrated it. The resurrection of Jesus Christ is the basis of Christian faith and hope. How often we go to a place like that, a place of the silent dead. But why would a person of this old world not realize the importance of be ready when they make that appointment with God? The worldly-minded person lives primarily for this life. He reasons as Esau must have, a bird in the hand is worth two in the bush. He cannot concern himself with what lies beyond the grave. He feels that it's foolish to be otherworldly, to be thinking of another world, as he might call it. He indulges to the limit in all fleshly desires. He attempts to fulfill all of his temporal appetites. He dwells in the here and the now world, the material, the physical world. And such a person measures success in terms of what he can lay up for himself on earth. And when he dies, he hopes that is the end, for he has made no preparation for what lies beyond. He is not willing to look at the problem of death, the end of life on earth, and attempt to solve it. His is a very common philosophy. Get all you can. Can all you get. After all, he reasons, you have only one life to live, so get all you can. There was a man whose lands produced abundantly. He said, what shall I do? I don't know what I'll do. I'll tear down my barns and I'll build bigger barns. Jesus told us about this man, how foolish he was. He had all that he had in this life. And then the Bible tells us that Jesus tells us what God spoke to him that night. God said, thou fool, this night thy soul shall be required of thee. And then, whose will all this be? What a lesson. The Christian has a different attitude. He realizes that life is short and eternity is sure. He says with the psalmist, the days of our years are 70 years and 10, or even by reason of strength, 80 years. Yet is there pride, but labor and sorrow, for it is soon gone. And we all know the truthfulness of it. We fly away, Psalms 90, verse 10. Centuries later, that was the same thing that the apostle agreed. Whereas you know not what shall be on the morrow. For what is your life? For you are vapor that appears for a little time and then it vanishes away. So that we ought to say, if the Lord will, we shall both live and do this or that. James 4, 14 and 15. The attitude of the Christian is found in these words of Jesus. For what will a man profit if he should gain the whole world and forfeit his soul? Or what will a man give in exchange for his soul? I tell you what, I honestly believe the greatest incentive to get people doing what's right, obeying the gospel of Christ, living right, is the hope that they realize that they'll have when death comes for them. Nothing has more power, I don't think, to inspire people to righteous living than the hope of life after death. Let me give you two examples quickly. What does the Bible say about this man Moses? Why did Moses do what he did? Because of that hope that he had of what God would give him when he's not on the earth. Hebrews 11, 24 through 27. Moses, by faith, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter, choosing rather to suffer affliction with the people of God. Affliction with whom? The people of God. Than to enjoy the pleasures that are just for a season. For he had respect unto the recompense of the reward. Show me a person that has that hope, that believes what the Bible says. I'll show you a person that'll make a change in his life. I'll show you a person that will arrange all the activities of his life around that one particular goal that he has. And that is to fight the good fight of faith, to keep the faith, as Paul said in 2 Timothy 4, 6 and 7. What does the hope of life after death do for us? Number one, it'll help you keep pure. You won't lie. Revelation 21, verse 8, tells you that all liars will have their part in the lake of fire and brimstone. It's an anchor of the soul. You won't quit. You know, no man having put his hand to the plow and looking back is fit for the kingdom of God. That's not for me. It's not for you. not for the child of God. Yes, there's sorrow that comes to our heart. Your heart is comforted in knowing that through it all, Jesus will be with us. It directs our vision. We can see. We see things that are up ahead because we're looking for that which is beyond this life. And we're not going to be tossed to and fro. We're going to be steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, for as much as you know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. Yes, the reality of life after death, the apostles knew it. They preached it. And on the day of Pentecost, they told everybody about that Jesus whom they now are ready to die for because they're servants of Christ. They talked about the resurrection, 1 Peter 1, verse 21. 1 Peter 3, 15, and 1 Corinthians 15, 19 through 21. And every Christian asks himself, will your anchor hold? Will your anchor hold in the storms of life? When the clouds unfold their wings of strife, when the strong tides lift and the cables strain, will your anchor drift or firm remain? The Christian has one thing in mind, that once he leaves this old world, he'll be gathered together with those who are children of God. What will it be like? It will be this way, my friend. When we live as God tells us, there's changes. Changes everything, doesn't it? It changes our perspective. It changes our attitude. It changes the way we live and the way that we're ready to die. Because every man that hath this hope in him purifieth himself even as he is pure. He paid the debt. I've asked Freddie to lead this song for us. Think about it. 359 in your book, but I have the words up here. Freddie, would you lead us? Debt. someone added these words to that song. I owed a debt I could not pay, and it was growing every day. But Jesus paid it all for me. He gave His life on Calvary. He died to save a wretch like me. What a Savior. I love Him. Yes, I do. He came a long way from heaven to take away all sin and strife. He came a long way from heaven to give to us eternal life. What is the glorious hope of the believer? Action. Time to listen, to obey. Hear His word. Believe it. Repent of your sins. Confess His name. And be baptized. Live faithfully. And if you're an erring child of God, confess your faults. Ask God to forgive you, that you will be ready to meet Him if He calls for us today or even 50 years from now. You're ready to serve Him. The invitation of Jesus is the greatest invitation any man could ever extend to any people. Today, I feel very humble to tell you that He's inviting you and He's inviting me. And if you're not ready to meet Him, won't you come now and obey Him? While together we stand.